He closed his eyes as he approached the place where the Room of Requirements door was concealed. He knew what he had to do. He had become most accomplished at it last year. Concentrating with all his might, he thought, I need to see what Malfoy's doing in here. I need to see what Malfoy's doing in here. I need to see what Malfoy's doing in here. Three times he walked past the door. Then, his heart pounding with excitement, he opened his eyes and faced it. But he was still looking at a stretch of mundanely blank wall. He moved forward and gave it an experimental push. The stone remained solid and unyielding.
Okay, said Harry aloud. Okay. I thought the wrong thing.
He pondered for a moment, then set off again, eyes closed, concentrating as hard as he could.
I need to see the place where Malfoy keeps coming secretly. I need to see the place where Malfoy keeps coming secretly.
After three walks past, he opened his eyes expectantly. There was no door.
Oh, come off it, he told the wall irritably. That was a clear instruction.
Fine. He thought hard for several minutes before striding off once more.
I need you to become the place you become for Draco Malfoy.
He did not immediately open his eyes when he had finished his patrolling. He was listening hard, as though he might hear the door pop into existence. He heard nothing, however, except the distant twittering of birds outside. He opened his eyes. There was still no door. Harry swore. Someone screamed. He looked around to see a gaggle of first years running back around the corner, apparently under the impression that they had just encountered a particularly foul-mouthed ghost. Harry tried every variation of, I need to see what Draco Malfoy is doing inside you, that he could think of for a whole hour, at the end of which he was forced to concede that Hermione might have had a point. The room simply did not want to open for him. Frustrated and annoyed, he set off for defense against the dark arts, pulling off his invisibility cloak and stuffing it into his bag as he went.
Late again, Potter, said Snape coldly, as Harry hurried into the candlelit classroom. 10 points from Gryffindor.
Harry scowled at Snape as he flung himself into the seat beside Ron. Half the class was still on its feet, taking out books and organizing their things. He could not be much later than any of them.
Before we start, I want your Dementor essays, said Snape, waving his wand carelessly, so that 25 scrolls of parchment soared into the air and landed in a neat pile on his desk. And I hope for your sakes they are better than the tripe I had to endure on resisting the Imperius curse. Now, if you will all open your books to page... What is it, Mr. Finnegan?
Sir, said Seamus. I've been wondering, how do you tell the difference between an Inferius and a ghost? Because there was something in the paper about an Inferius.
No, there wasn't, said Snape in a bored voice.
But, sir, I heard people talking.
If you had actually read the article in question, Mr. Finnegan, you would have known that the so-called Inferius was nothing but a smelly sneak thief by the name of Mundungus Fletcher.
I thought Snape and Mundungus were on the same side, muttered Harry to Ron and Hermione. Shouldn't he be upset? Mundungus has been arrested.
But Potter seems to have a lot to say on the subject, said Snape, pointing suddenly at the back of the room, his black eyes fixed on Harry. Let us ask Potter how we would tell the difference between an Inferius and a ghost.
The whole class looked around at Harry, who hastily tried to recall what Dumbledore had told him the night that they had gone to visit Slughorn.
Well, ghosts are transparent, he said.
Oh, very good, interrupted Snape, his lip curling. Yes, it is easy to see that nearly 6 years of magical education have not been wasted on you, Potter. Ghosts are transparent.
Pansy Parkinson let out a high-pitched giggle. Several other people were smirking. Harry took a deep breath and continued calmly, though his insides were boiling.
Yeah, ghosts are transparent, but in theory are dead bodies, aren't they? So they'd be solid.
A 5-year-old could have told us as much, sneered Snape.
The Inferius is a corpse that has been reanimated by a dark wizard's spells. It is not alive. It is merely used like a puppet to do the wizard's bidding. A ghost, as I trust that you are all aware by now, is the imprint of a departed soul left upon the earth. And of course, as Potter so wisely tells us, transparent.
Well, what Harry said is the most useful if we're trying to tell them apart, said Ron.
When we come face to face with one down a dark alley, we're going to be having a shufti to see if it's solid, aren't we? We're not going to be asking, excuse me, are you the imprint of a departed soul?
There was a ripple of laughter, instantly quelled by the look Snape gave the class.
Another 10 points from Gryffindor, said Snape. I would expect nothing more sophisticated from you, Ronald Weasley. The boy, so solid, he cannot apparate half an inch across a room.
No,
whispered Hermione, grabbing Harry's arm as he opened his mouth furiously.
That's no point. You'll just end up in detention again. Leave it.
Now, open your books to page 213, said Snape, smirking a little. And read the first 2 paragraphs on the Cruciatus curse.
Ron was very subdued all through the class. When the bell sounded at the end of the lesson, Lavender caught up with Ron and Harry. Hermione mysteriously melted out of sight as she approached, and abused Snape hotly for his jibe about Ron's apparition. But this seemed to merely irritate Ron, and he shook her off by making a detour into the boys' bathroom with Harry.